Really love that video. I've been wanting to play it for a while because I think in the midst of everything that's going on around us and all the chaos, it's good to remember that we can still our hearts and trust in Him. We've been talking about trusting in Him these last few weeks. We've been looking at John 14 and Jesus talking to His disciples. Have you ever heard of Florence Chadwick? She was a famous American swimmer, first woman to actually swim the English Channel both ways. And once she attempted to swim from Catalina Island all the way to the coastline of California. And what made her attempt especially newsworthy was not what was not the swim itself, actually, but with the reason that she quit. It wasn't the cold water of the Pacific. It wasn't the muscle cramps. It wasn't a shark or a school of jellyfish that did her in. It wasn't even the exhaustion of swimming for 16 hours, which I cannot even begin to imagine, that did her in. Now, the reason she didn't make it was because of fog. The fog rolled in, and she wasn't able to see the coastline, and so she quit. And when she climbed in the support boat that accompanied her, she was informed that she was less than 1 mile from shore. And she says that if she had known that she was that close, if she could have been able to see through the fog, she would have made it. But the fog was there. The fog rolled in. And in her mind, she lost perspective of where she was. She lost her confidence. The fog rolled in and it brought with it doubts and fears and insecurities. The fog rolled in and it distorted her thinking and she could no longer see the way forward. I think that happens to us, don't you? I think it's especially been happening in these days with everything that's been going on with COVID. I mean, like the fog has rolled in and we can't see the end. We can't see the shore. What was clear doesn't seem clear anymore. And part of what makes this so challenging is that many of us were already dealing with fog in our lives, even before the pandemic came. I don't know what your fog may have been, but I know some people who were dealing with issues because they trusted somebody and they took advantage of them. Life was foggy. Or someone they loved had stopped loving them in return. Maybe for you, you were already dealing with, you know, financial fog before the pandemic hit, or maybe your own health struggles. Like the fog was already there, and now on top of it all, there's the pandemic. And then the political season came, and on and on. I think most of us have had moments where we feel like, at least emotionally, like we just want to give up for a season, right? Like, just wake me up when all this is over, when the fog is gone. What do you do when the fog rolls in? I think sometimes we're kind of like a swimmer. We can't see the shore, and so we give up. We quit. We get back in the boat, and then we blame the fog. Well, it wasn't my fault. I was doing pretty good, but I can't control the fog. Like I had a plan, I was working my plan, everything was going the way it was supposed to go, but, you know, what am I supposed to do now? And so we find ourselves thinking as we climb back in the boat, this isn't my fault, you know. And we feel angry and we feel frustrated and we start throwing blame around, and because this isn't the way I saw this season of my life going. It wasn't, this kind of stuff wasn't supposed to happen to me. What happens when the fog rolls in is that we stop living in victory. And many times, some of us take on a victim mentality. You say, well, what do you mean by victim mentality? Well, when you have a victim mentality, we tend to whine and complain a lot. We tend to focus on what's wrong. And we keep running over in our head over and over again a list of what's not fair or what's out of our control that has kept us from our goal. And you can always tell that someone's about ready to quit because they ramp up their complaining. I do this in the summer when Luann wants me to walk with her. You know, she says, let's go on a walk. And so we'll go on a walk and, you know, I'll start saying like, oh, it's too hot, or, you know, I should have eaten something before we left, or, oh, these shoes aren't right. I hate my shoes. I need some new shoes before I can walk this far. My knee is hurting, or, you know, I'm getting eaten up by mosquitoes. And I just start swatting myself for effect, you know. She knows what's coming because pretty soon I'm going to say to her, hey, I think I'm going to head back. Another thing we do is we blame and we criticize. Victims will victims will sometimes blame God. Well, why did he let this happen? Why doesn't he do something to change it? Victims will criticize whoever they can. They'll criticize the government or leadership. They'll blame their DNA, like, you know, it's my parents' fault, or, you know, some past ancestor somewhere that messed things up in my life. And we'll point a finger at our spouse, or we'll point a finger at the stock market, and, you know, and we just go on and on with blame. And soon the whining and the blaming and the criticizing and the complaining, it has a way of turning to anxiety and anger. I think we've just seen that in Washington, D.C. a week and a half ago. I think all the whining and the complaining and the blame and the criticism caused anxiety that exploded in anger. Now, whether you agree with that or not, you know that it's true in our lives. That's not just in the culture. It's not just over the election. It's not over the pandemic or the economy. I mean, do this in your marriage. Start complaining all the time. Start blaming all the time, and then that all will turn to anger, and it'll destroy your marriage. It destroys relationships. We feel anxious because we're surrounded by things we can't control or fully understand. It's foggy, and we don't know what's in the fog, and we can't see land. So we feel vulnerable and powerless, which makes us feel anxious and angry, and we take it out on the people around us. It destroys relationships. It makes us do things that we normally wouldn't do. Why? Because the fog rolled in. We're not sure what to do with our anxiety and our anger. And we don't know what to do with our fear and our frustration, and so we take it out on other people. Sometimes, especially when it comes to following Jesus, we quit altogether. We're reading and learning about the final discourse of Jesus, you know, after the Last Supper in the upper room. Jesus knows that he doesn't have much time left with his disciples. In fact, by the time we read this passage of Scripture, Judas has already left to betray Jesus. And so in a matter of hours, I mean, he's going to be arrested and he's going to be beaten. But in John 14, Jesus isn't thinking about himself. He's thinking about his followers, his closest followers, who are in the room, and he wants to prepare them for the fog. He wants them to know what to do when the fog rolls in. When everything changes, when he's arrested, crucified, dead and buried. He doesn't want them to run. He doesn't want them to be victims. He wants them to have victory. They have a mission that they need to complete. And Jesus doesn't want them to give up, to give in to their frustration, to give in to their anxiety, to their anger. And so in case any of them have any doubts about who he is, that he's God, he's going to be really clear here in John chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. Listen to this. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus says to them, if you know me, you know my Father. And Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. And Jesus answered, says, don't you know me, Philip? That even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Now, Philip is essentially saying, you want us to have faith in the middle of the fog? Then you want us to have faith to deal with what's coming our way? Then let us see God with our own eyes. And Jesus is like going, Philip, what do you think I've been doing for the last 3 years? You've been seeing God because you've seen me. Verse 10, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is at work, who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Now, Jesus is saying to Philip, you know, and to really all the disciples, remember the words I've said to you? Do you remember the things that I've told you? And do you not believe your own eyes? Look, just remember the things you've seen. And he's telling his followers that when the fog rolls in, and it's going to roll in, okay, I want you to believe in me. I want you to trust in me. Verse 1 of this whole chapter. In the middle of the fog, don't lose your faith. Keep swimming. Keep moving forward. How? Remember the words that I have spoken. In the middle of the fog, I want you to listen for my voice. Jesus was constantly reassuring his followers of his identity, that he is God. In fact, the Gospel of John records 7 statements about his identity. They're known as the I Am statements. Now, one of the reasons they're important is that you may remember in the Old Testament, when God comes to Moses and he says he wants him to go rescue the Israelites, and Moses says, well, who am I going to tell them, you know, sent me? Because I just can't go and say, hey, I'm Moses, you know, who sent me? And God said this, I'll tell you who, you tell them, I Am has sent you. That's my name. I Am. And that means that every time that Jesus makes one of these I Am statements, it's this not so subtle claim, I'm God. Me and the Father are one. And each of these I Am statements makes it clear that Jesus not only is God, but it highlights an area where they can trust in him and depend on him when the fog rolls in. And so I don't have time to go in depth into these, but I want to show them to you and point them out to you. In the Bible app, we have these listed. So if you'd like to go find a list of those there. But here are the 7 I Am statements of Jesus. We'll show them on the screen here. I am the bread of life. I'm the one who sustains you, feeds you, nourishes you. I am the light of the world. In the midst of the darkness, I'm the light that shines brightly. I am the door. I'm the way in. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I'm your protector. I'm the one who watches over you. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the one who gives life. I'm the one who brings you back from the dead. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then finally, Jesus in John 15 talks about how I am the true vine. Now, what Jesus is saying is, Philip, when you're in the fog, remember who I am. When you find yourself surrounded by fog, just take a deep breath, still your heart, and remember who Jesus is. And Philip, not only that, you know what else you can do? You can remember what you've seen me do. See, John helps us know Jesus by giving us these 7 I Am statements. That's about his identity, but John also helps us believe in Jesus by recording 7 signs or miracles to give us faith and help us believe, to help us trust when the fog rolls in. John records probably the least number of miracles of any of the gospel writers, but each of these miracles highlights how God cares for different aspects of our lives. So I'm going to put up these miracles, but what I'm going to put up is what it reminds you of, all right? Changing water into wine at the wedding at Canaan. That reminds us that he cares about little things in our life. Healing the royal official's son from a distance. He has power over distance. Healing the man who was paralyzed for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem. I mean, this was like he had power over time. Like there's nothing God can't undo. It's never too late. Feeding the 5,000, he cares for our daily needs. Walking on water, he has power over this physical world that we live in. Healing the man who was born blind, he has power over the body. Raising Lazarus from the dead in John 11 means that he has power over life and death. So in the fog, remember who Jesus has said that he is. Remember what Jesus has done. Remember the power that he has. Remember how much he cares about things in your life and mine. And don't forget this whole context of this chapter is about, again, Jesus saying, trust me. Here it's about trusting me because of who I am. Trust me because of what I've done. Now, I know the fog is so prevalent in our life and easy to remember. So I want to give you a simple acronym to help us to think about what do I do when I get in the fog? There's something about the troubles of this life that cause us sometimes to get disoriented, that do create this anxiety, this doubt, fear, panic, leaves us with a feeling of being defeated. And here's the thing, I don't want you to be a victim. I want you to live victorious. That's what God wants. So we're going to use that word fog And I saw somebody else use, and just give you some handles. What do I do when I find myself in the fog? I'm going to remember who he is, and I'm going to remember what he's done. But give me some other pointers this morning. Well, here's the first one. Here's the F. Focus on Jesus. Focus on what Jesus has said and on what he's done. Hebrews 12, I love this. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. We focus on him. I remember once we were in the car and we were on a country road when the fog rolled in. It was kind of late at night. I think we were going to a New Year's Eve party out in the country. And the fog was so thick, I could hardly see in front of me. And the road was windy and it was curvy and it was one lane with deep ditches off on the side. And so I was just very unfamiliar with it. And it was kind of scary not being able to see like that when the fog rolled in. And I'd never been down this particular road. Fortunately, I was following a friend whose house we were going to for the party. And so I just told myself, you know what, Brian, don't get distracted. You know, don't let your eyes wander. Just keep your eyes on the taillights in front of you. He knows where you're going and you don't. He knows where the curves are and you don't. He knows where we're going and you need to keep your eyes fixed on him in the fog. And isn't that what we need to do when things are foggy? So just like Hebrews says, we've got this. Jesus has lived through what we've lived through. He's gone through what we need to stick close to him. And the way we keep swimming in the midst of fog, the way we keep going is to keep our eyes on him, to follow him. I don't know the way, but he does. I may not see what's up ahead, but he does. I may not know the obstacles and how to get around them, but he does. So don't get distracted in the fog. Don't let your eyes wander. You keep your eyes on Jesus, who is with you, who is in front of you, who is beside you, who is behind you, and he will get you home if you'll keep your focus on him, especially in the fog. When you're in the fog, focus on Jesus. So here's the O. Offer thanks. This is Philippians 4, 6, and 7, one of my favorite passages. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and this is so key, and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Ed Dobson, in his book, Seeing Through the Fog, writes about what his life has been like in the last 12 years since he was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. ALS, which is the original name for it, is a degenerative disease for which there's no known cause or cure. And in the book, he just writes honestly about how he has to battle to stay grateful. He's surrounded by this fog, but he works hard at being thankful to God. So let me read a section of this to you, because this is so powerful to me. He writes, "There are many things for which I am not grateful. I can no longer button the buttons on my shirt. I can no longer put on a heavy jacket. I can no longer raise my right hand above my head. I can no longer write. I can no longer eat with my right hand. I eat with my left hand. And even now, that's becoming a challenge. And over time, these challenges will get worse and worse. So what in the world do I have to be thankful for?" And he answers his own question, "So much." He says, "What do you have to be thankful for?" Like, so much. And then his writing kind of turns into this prayer. Listen to what he writes. "Lord, thank you. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Lord, thank you that I can turn over in my bed. Lord, thank you that I can even get out of bed. Lord, thank you that I can walk to the bathroom. Lord, thank you that I can still brush my teeth. Lord, thank you that I can still eat my breakfast. Lord, thank you that I can still dress myself. Lord, thank you that I can still drive my car. Lord, thank you that I can still walk. Lord, thank you that I can still talk." And then he kind of goes on and he adds a whole bunch of other stuff to his list, some things that I think we sometimes tend to take for granted. And then he closes his prayer out like this: "I've learned in my journey with ALS to focus on what I can do, not on what I can't do. I've learned to be grateful for the small things in my life and for the many things I can still do. So help me, God. I know this day will never be repeated. I know I can never live it over again. So God, help me to live it to the fullest." I mean, Wow. In this season, we can easily let our hearts and our minds be overtaken by fog. Constant uncertainties, very real struggles. We can let the complaining and we can let, you know, the anxiousness and we can let the anger boil over and take it out on one another. But as followers of Jesus, we need to see through it. We need to remember that the shore is not too far away. We need to be known by a spirit of joy and peace that comes from a grateful heart. You know, we as followers of Jesus are not people who panic in the fog. We are the people who, in the midst of the fog, praise God. And when the fog rolls in, we don't sink. We don't give up. We don't give in. We keep swimming. We have a tremendous opportunity in these days to let our light shine. This is not the time to let the fog frustrate us and to get angry because we're anxious or scared or because things aren't going to plan or things aren't going our way. This isn't the time to be afraid because we don't know what's coming. This is the time for us to worship God with grateful hearts. This is the time where people should see the difference that Jesus makes. That's what we need to be displaying to the world. Focus on Jesus. That's our F. O, offer thanks. And G, get perspective. I love the way the Message paraphrases 1 Corinthians 13:12. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist, but it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. You know, I get it right now. Like there's not much that we can see right now. It feels like most of life is squinting through a fog, right? I mean, the paraphrase hit it right on the head. We're trying to see what's ahead, but it's a struggle. And we're constantly on edge wondering, you know, where are we going to go next and what's going to happen next? And you know, but here's the thing, like we reminded ourselves last week, hey, it won't be long. It won't be long until God says, I am making all things new and right, like we talked about last week. So you keep your perspective that this isn't going to last forever. This is for a season, but God's still got me. You know, there may be more fog and there may be more storms ahead. You know, the worst case scenario, this life is a difficult road trip, but it won't last forever. And it's leading us towards an eternal destination that will be so worth it all when we get there. So get perspective by remembering what's on the other side of the fog. So I talked about Florence Chadwick, right? The American swimmer. She attempted to swim from Catalina Island to the coast of California, but the fog rolled in and she failed, because she couldn't see land. 2 months later, she went back and she made another attempt. And again, the fog was heavy. And again, she couldn't see the coastline. But this time, she finished the swim. So what was the difference? Well, this time she was prepared for the fog. This time, when the fog rolled in, she said that she kept a mental image in her mind. I love this. She kept a mental image in her mind of the shoreline, and she focused in on that image. She kept her perspective. She refused to give up. I love that. She's swimming 16 hours, much of it through fog, hours and hours of swimming in fog. And what is she thinking about? What's she picturing in her mind, in her heart? She's thinking about the shoreline. What's on the other side of it all? She's seeing through the fog. And with faith, she kept moving forward because she knows that what's on the other side is going to be well worth it. Boy, what a lesson for us today, huh? We talked a little bit, like I said last week, about Jesus telling his disciples about heaven and a room that he's gone to prepare for them, and that they needed to get a heavenly perspective. This fog is going to clear one day, you know, and we shall see him face to face. But we've got to keep moving forward because we trust him. We keep moving forward. Like we talked about last week, we know what's on the other side of the shoreline. We keep moving forward because we remember his words about who he is and all the things that he has done. I don't want to quit in the fog because there's too much at stake. And I don't want you to either. Hang in there. Keep moving forward. Keep swimming. And if you're struggling, remember our acronym, FOG, focus on Jesus. Offer thanks for all the things that God has blessed your life with. And get your perspective. Remember, this isn't going to last forever. And God's got you in the midst of this. And what awaits us? It's so rewarding. Would you bow your head with me this morning and let me pray for you? Oh God, thank you. Thank you that you have given us insight today into how we can deal with the fog in our lives, because Lord, it comes. I pray for those out there right now who don't see the end. They just have been overweighted and burdened, and maybe their hearts have been, you know, maybe their morale has just gotten sapped out of them, and they don't know what they're going to do, and they're confused, and they can't see what's ahead, and they're complaining, and maybe even their complaining has caused anxiety, and they're anxious today because of lack of clarity in their lives. Maybe somebody out there this morning is angry. They're angry because of the fog in their life. God, I pray right now, would you come into the midst of their hearts and lives? And Lord, would you fill them with your presence today? I pray for that one who doesn't know you. I pray for that one who's not your follower, that Father, they might lean on you today and trust in what Jesus did on the cross to be for them. And abandon trying to find their own way through the fog, and instead to trust in you and what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that his sacrifice might count for them, and that, Lord, they might be forgiven of their sins, and that, Father, they might today begin to follow you, to keep their eyes on you, to be thankful for all the things that you've given them. And, Lord, today to get a new perspective because of following you, Lord, heaven awaits, eternal life, not death. God, I pray for those today who were going through stuff before any of this started. And so, Lord, here they are. They just feel like everything's been just dumped on top of them. Maybe there are some today who've been hurt. Maybe there's issues in families. Maybe there's issues in marriages today. God, maybe there are issues with our kids or with our parents today, where we've been throwing blame at one another. And we've been, Father, taking our anger out on one another. It's all because of the fog. We can't see. And we just take responsibility for it today. And we say, God, I need a new way to deal with my fog. I need a new way to deal with my uncertainty. I need a new way to deal with my anxiety. For each of us today, I pray that you would help us to live out that acronym. That, Father, today you would help us to focus on you. That just like I was driving that car at night through the fog, following taillights, that, Lord, we would follow you. You know the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is follow. And so right now, I just, as you pray to God, would you just ask him to help you fix your eyes on him? Would you repent of maybe getting your eyes off on stuff you don't need to be? Maybe you've been watching too much news. Maybe you've been watching too much of what's going on in the world. Maybe you've been getting people in your ear who are complaining and negative and angry. And you need to take your eyes and your ears and fix them firmly on Jesus today, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. Maybe today you need to begin to give thanksgiving. Just right now, would you just give God thanks for something this morning? God, I'm thankful that I got up today. I'm thankful that you've provided for me. I'm thankful, Lord. I know my life, things could be a lot different, a lot worse, and a lot more difficult. I just thank you for your blessings and how you care for me. Focus on thanksgiving this morning. Focus on praising him today and being grateful. And this morning, would you ask God to help you get a new perspective? God, I pray each person will get a new, fresh perspective to know that the troubles and things that we go through in this life, they're passing. They're not permanent. They're not forever. And there is something that if we can hang in here and see through the fog, that if we can endure, that if we can continue to focus on you and we can continue to offer thanksgiving and praise, that God, there is coming for us a place that we talked about last week that you're preparing for us. So God, I pray today, would you help each person who's listening today. Father, would you help them to get a fresh perspective? Would you help them to see anew and afresh? Father, I just pray you would help us to fix our eyes on you, to set our hearts on heaven, and Father, to give you thanks and to remember there's a day coming. I've read the end of the book and we win in the end. It's all going to be okay because we follow you and trust in you. I pray for every person listening today. May their trust in you increase. May their confidence in you increase. And Father, I pray that you would give us grace, a grace that is more than the trouble the enemy gives, grace that is more, the power that is more than that which the enemy unleashes on us. I pray, God, today, give us more hope than doubts. I pray, God, give us more faith, Lord, to believe and trust in you in these days as we move forward. We love you today. And we give you all our hearts and all our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, this morning, if you prayed and asked Jesus Christ into your heart and asked him to forgive you for your sins, I'd love for you to let me know. You can message me. You can either on whatever platform you're on. You can email me if you'd like from our website. Just let us know what God's doing in your life. I'd love to hear how God may have used the message today to speak to you, but what commitments you may have made to him this morning as we've been worshiping together. And then I want to invite you to share this on social media. I just think, you know, sometimes we have trouble getting people to come into our building, but you have an opportunity here, no cost to you, to invite others to listen to the message and perhaps tell them, witness to them about how you've been encouraged by what you've heard here today. Hey, listen, I love you. God's going to get us through this. As Pastor Nicole mentioned earlier, the board's going to meet tomorrow night, and we're going to figure out what we're going to do. And let's continue to pray for our community, continue to pray about COVID, and you know, for healing in our nation from all the things that have gone on the last couple of weeks. And let's just believe with all our hearts that God's going to do something special and significant in our lives, through our lives here in Topeka and around the world. God bless you. Have a great week.